Today's guest is a former data analyst who made close to $200,000 a year. However, something just didn't feel right, and he felt more and more out of place as he continued down his career path. And one day, everything changed when he decided to pick up a camera and start creating content.
And then I made like one video, put in a little bit more thought. It was like, I analyzed this other guy, small channel, blew up, made one video, had like 4 million views, and he had like 10K subs or something,
so yeah.
Really outlier video. I thought I could literally make the same style of video, but just use it in the data analysis domain.
Right.
So I kind of made a similar thumbnail, just like he had a day zero, day 100, like a split thumbnail.
Split screen,
did
yeah.
The same thing. Title was very similar, but then translated to data analysis. And like the beginning was kind of like almost the same, like I'm going to teach you the beginner mistakes when it comes to software development.
Yeah.
And I told him beginner mistakes for data analysis, blah, blah, blah. Blew up 3 million views by now. So that really helped blow up my channel.
Since his first time on the podcast, we've become good friends, and this is the second time he's visited me in Valencia. So we talked about his 1 year of traveling the world while trying to create a digital business.
Traveling is cool, but like if you're trying to build a business, for example, what I was trying to do with my YouTube channel, it doesn't serve your productivity at all. It's like pretty tricky to find a new routine every day, every new location, set up a new studio, pack, unpack.
Right.
It can be a bit challenging.
As an experienced traveler and a digital nomad, Stefan gives a bunch of great stories and tips on traveling, and we talk about something called intermittent digital nomading.
Travel is still fucking awesome. It's gonna be a big part of my life, of my fiance and my life, but in a different way. Instead of like going away for such a long time on end, we're just gonna focus on like having a stable base, a home, and then every time we think like, we're stuck in a routine, switch it up, let's go away for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then you travel around, get new impulses, get like refreshed, reset. And eventually you'll get sick of the traveling as well. Like you miss home, you miss your routine, you miss your friends and family.
Right.
Go back home, spend 2, 3 months back home and then do it all over again. And I think like the switching it up, the keeping it like dynamic and ever changing.
That's the ideal situation. Yeah. We also talked about content creation, how to land a remote job, crazy travel stories, and a lot more. So I hope you enjoy the episode.
You're listening to Bored with Nelly.
How's your neck, my man?
This is doable.
This is okay?
Yeah, this is the angle I walk, but like if I stand up. It's
you came here for one day and you have neck pain. And this is actually like really intimate. Like this is almost like a date kind of like.
Yeah, right.
I can almost.
I have to turn my whole body, man. Yeah, so maybe tell the guests what the fuck you did, man. You choked me out and then broke my neck and now I'm paralyzed.
It was actually a long-term plan. I was 6 months ago, I said, I'm going to get this guy into jiu-jitsu.
That's when the seed was planted.
I told you I was only a few months in. Lie. I was like a year and a half in. I said, yeah, this is a great sport. You should try it out. Practice a little bit. Get hooked. You did. It all fucking worked. And then you start practicing. You're like, oh, it's going great. You give me these updates. I'm like, this is awesome. When he comes over, he's going to, you know, feel like he's in the conversation here. And then I invited you to the gym, told everyone pretend like, hey, he's a white belt. And then it was just strangle, strangle, strangle.
Damn, yeah.
Imagine.
No, but it was fun. It was good fun. It was good fun. It was worth it.
It was well worth it. I mean, I don't think we're going to go back now because you have severe neck pain.
Yeah, maybe Monday.
Maybe Monday. I guess last time we talked, and I wanted to bring this up, I've told you I want to bring it up, you were at the beginning of your YouTube journey, and you were starting to dabble with going fully freelance and fully into your own content. You were at 40,000 subscribers when I discovered you.
Yep.
When I discovered you, so I was a day one. 40,000 is still like...
You scouted me.
In today's era, 40,000 is like you were at the gym in like grade school watching you shoot hoops.
It's nothing.
And now we're at a quarter plus million. No, what is that?
260, something like
Who's
that.
Who's counting? Not you.
Not even relevant anymore.
And you, more importantly, are now working entirely for yourself, for your own projects. How does it feel? Tell me about the journey a bit more, in a bit more detail.
Yeah, so that was like almost exactly 2 years ago. I think we kind of did the first pod in February 2022.
It might be 3 years ago.
No,
two years ago?
It was when I was traveling. Right at the start of when I was traveling, I just hit like a good viral video that's what grew me to 30-40k. That's probably how you found me.
Oh, well, I mean, that's, you know, no, I was...
you were stalking me.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I probably
saw... The master plan goes way back.
Yeah, honestly, I don't remember how I found you. I have no idea.
I think that was it. Like, why I quit my job. That video probably...
That probably hit close to what I wanted to do in my life. That's why that video was in my recommended.
Yeah. So anyways, we did the pod. And then after that, it was a year full of traveling and doing YouTube full time.
Yeah.
And I was just dabbling around, I guess. Some videos hit, some videos missed. And then I kind of picked up on this data analysis related videos.
Yeah.
Those really took off, really blew up my channel. I guess at the end of that year, got me to around 150K maybe.
And why did the data analysis videos specifically do well?
I guess it was really, first of all, it was really a trending topic.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured out accidentally, like every data analysis related video I made, because I was a data analyst.
Yeah.
Just seemed to blow up. No matter how shitty the thumbnail or the story was, it just did really well.
You think it was shitty, like the video?
Yeah, like nothing special. Like the way I approach YouTube now is like I analyze every fucking trending topic, idea, validate the packaging. Like there goes so many thoughts go into the whole stuff. And then it was like, oh, day in the life of a data analyst. Should be cool. Let's just make something funny. It's more like a sketch than... And it blew up. And then I made like one video... I put in a little bit more thought. It was like, I analyzed this other guy, small channel, blew up, made one video, had like 4 million views, and he had like 10K subs or something. So really outlier video. And basically, and his topic was software developer, software programming. I thought I could literally make the same style of video, but just use it in the data analysis domain.
Right.
So I kind of made a similar thumbnail, just like he had a day zero, day 100, like a split thumbnail.
Split screen,
The same thing. Title was very similar, but then translated to data analysis. And like the beginning was kind of like almost the same, like I'm going to teach you the beginner mistakes when it comes to software development.
Yeah.
And I told him beginner mistakes for data analysis, blah, blah. Blew up 3 million views by now. So that really helped blow up my channel.
How did it feel when that happened? Like, because before that, you were still making videos obviously regularly and you were having probably moderate success.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the feeling after that video takes off? Or was there any, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because when I made that video, I did think, like... I had, like, a couple of misses. So I was in a... Not in a rut, but, like, in a losing streak.
Right.
So I needed something. I needed, like, a winner again, a W again.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, fuck it. Now I'm going to put in way more time and energy into research, analyzing what I just told you about.
Yeah.
So when it... Well, it didn't even blow up, but it just went like...
Steadily progressed.
Yeah. But like immediately from the start, I could see, okay, this is good. Like CTR was good. Like the metrics were good.
Right.
And it kind of confirmed like, yeah, if you put in some thought and research into validating an idea, like is this something people want to watch? Is this in demand? There's definitely like, it is a working strategy. So it just confirmed like if you put in more thought in validating the idea... It works.
And up until that point, you were basically working on creating better content. You were taking courses on, you know, videography, but also on YouTube analysis, you know, script structuring, research. Where were you at the point of your education in the space? What do you even call it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or is all education just you doing the video and then learning to get the next one better?
So in 2022, like right about that time, that was just mostly watching YouTube tutorials, listening to Mr. Beast podcasts, listening to his YouTube strategy consultant, Patty Galloway.
Yeah.
Listen to his podcast as well. Just tutorials and dabbling around. Yeah.
But there was no like, you know, oh, I just need to figure out one more thing. I just need to like do this. But it's always a like your stepping stone. You're building into something.
There's an infinite amount of things to learn.
You don't feel like you're anywhere remotely close to mastering.
No.
Yeah.
It's not possible
to master.
YouTube keeps changing. So
right.
Even like, every big creator who used to like get, I don't know, a consistent amount of views, millions or maybe hundreds of thousands, are now struggling to get the same amount of views.
Right.
Because the same formula doesn't work anymore. You have to innovate. People get saturated. Things get boring. You have to innovate.
Yeah, it's a bit of a scary thing when you're switching from a steady salary to such a highly volatile industry where you have to continue to adapt and innovate with the industry or you kind of fall behind.
Yep.
Do you think about that? You worry about that a little bit? Or is that more of a challenge?
It's a challenge, like it's something you're aware of, but you can use it, like it can feel like, oh shit, this makes it more challenging, but you can also see it as, oh shit, this makes it more challenging for everyone. So the ones that don't kind of adapt to it, they fall out, and then you have less competition. So
true.
You kind of like just go right.
It's like anything. If you put more time and more energy into it, you're gonna improve.
Yeah. Like honestly, I skipped the short form wave.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a gamble for me. Like I knew it was like, yeah, this is probably what I should focus on. Last year, probably everybody focused on shorts. But what I see now, even big creators are kind of like dropping the ball with shorts because it doesn't translate into anything.
It's really nothing. If you think about it.
It does give some conversion to subscribers and followers.
Yeah.
But like that conversion rate is so low. You cannot monetize shorts. Like the monetization just sucks.
It's terrible. Yeah.
You gotta live from that. The selling products, monetize again in a different way. It's not a great way to build trust. You need long form for that.
Right.
And to convert short form viewers to long form viewers, it's like a very low percentage. So I'd rather put that time and just make it.
The only exception would it be to like if you're specifically a short form content creator.
Yeah.
Then now it's the best time to make shorts because like it feels like it's the same boom from a couple years ago when it was, what was that platform called? It was short form content.
Fine.
Yeah. It feels like it's that same level like of fever pitch. Everyone is trying to make as many shorts as possible and just pump out as much content in short form.
Yeah, it does have a role and it does work, but it's just like, I have to make the decision, like, do I put time into dabbling around with short form content or do I just double down on long form? Long form is my thing right now and I'm just going to, for now, keep
it. Makes sense. And for you, what you're doing, what you start doing, it makes complete sense. Yeah. Like the shorts is kind of a bonus for you. It's not really a selling point.
That's the thing.
I another topic I wanted to ask you, because I'm sure you're getting this a lot and I'm getting this quite a bit now, it's people asking for two things. My friends, family, one is the obvious remote work. As everyone realizes, remote work is way better than going to an office.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of more of a, let's say, open, broad topic, and we can probably both speak on it a little bit.
Yep.
But the more interesting part for me is like when they ask specifically about our area. So they ask about social media management. Mm-hmm. They ask about content creation. They ask about email marketing, copywriting. And everyone asks like the same, let's say, set of questions. How much do you make? How much can you make? What do I have to do to make that?
Yeah.
Is that the wrong approach? One question. And two, when someone comes to you, what do you tell them? Because this is a question I struggle with telling people. Like, how do you focus your energy to get to your desired goal? Or is their goal like a little bit different than mine? Whereas like, I felt like this was like a passion and I wanted to do it more so because I just want to do not my regular job.
Yeah.
They look at it as like, their exit out of a regular job, not their calling, but per se.
I'd give the exact same advice, like whether it's content creation or whatever. First, try it out. Try making, if you want to make content and that be your remote work exit, whatever you want to call it, try it out. Make a couple of long form, short form videos. If you see, like, I like it and I could get good at this, keep continuing with it and accept the fact that for the first couple of months, probably half a year to a year, you're not going to make any single dollar out of it.
Yeah.
But at least you can get good at it, build a portfolio, and figure out if that's something you want to do. Worst case scenario, you figure out that's not something for you, but then you can focus your time and energy into something else. But yeah, it's such a cliche thing, but it is definitely a requirement. Like, it has to be something you genuinely like doing. Otherwise, other people who do like making content, for example, they will fucking...
They'll outwork you.
They'll outwork you. Yeah. They'll make better content because they enjoy doing it. They'll put in way more time in learning, improving, and you're seeing it as a, I just need to finish this video so I can get some money. It's not going
to
work.
But it's also, to me, when someone tells me these things, it seems counterintuitive because if you're trying to get out of what you don't want to do, why are you trying to replace it with something you don't want to do slightly less?
You're going to replace it with something you don't want to do, but at least you can do it from anywhere in the world. I'm going to do something. Yeah. So
it's a really
to solve one little problem.
Right. It's almost like you're like, I always say the same thing. I always say it's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot
wound. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it stops the bleeding a little bit, maybe, but you're still going to bleed out.
No, turn it around. Like the main problem everybody should focus on, find something you enjoy to do. And it will probably grow to something so big that you can do it from anywhere in the world with friends. You can make anything out of it. Focus on that first. Like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah. You know what the weeding point is, the weed out moment is when someone comes to you with one of these questions, when they ask, like, how long will it take? That's the one that pisses me off so much. Because, like, Oh, if you don't give them an answer, like you said, first of all, six months, I think that's an extremely generous amount of time. I think you need to at least...
To earn your first dollar, if you do some outreach, it's doable.
You think so?
It's doable. Depends on your talent, whatever. Doable.
That's, but I'm saying there's a lot of factors involved there. Like, let's say, like, even, like, fundamentally videos.
Yeah.
Okay? Can you even film a video? I know it seems cliche and like, yeah, anyone can pick up a camera and anyone can just shoot. Okay, but like, can you film? Do you have a, like, what are you going to film? What are you going to talk about? Like, how are you going to edit? There's so many levels to it. So if like, if my dad asked me, how do I start making like content? I'm like, dude, I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know where to start with you.
Pick up a camera and click record and upload it. Yeah.
But like from that moment till him making a dollar, it's going to be way more than 6 months.
Yeah, true, true.
But it's a really weird thing. It's like, how long does it take? 6 months? It's not quick enough. It's like,
do you
have something better? Like, did you want me to tell you to rob a bank?
Yeah, but that's, I don't know if that's a TikTok generation or the fucking short form frying our brains. Everything has to be fast, fast, fast. Ah, bro, except the fact that like when I started YouTube, it took me, I don't know, 2 years before I could start monetizing.
Right.
And it took me fucking, what is it now? 4 years until I can say like, I can make a living.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, and that I would say you're an exception because that's really
could take you longer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's you're young, you're tech savvy. You wanted to do this. So you had a passion for it. You were doing it. Those are a lot of factors that I think help you progress even quicker.
True. True.
I look at an example, like my friend, Steph, the guy that edits these clips. He was similar. Like he didn't want to do his career and he actually liked editing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I can get you through so many hoops that I had to go through. Like, you don't have to go through those. And if you stick to it, if you have the passion, we'll get it out. I think you can start making money within 6 months.
Yeah.
The really, I don't know, the interesting part to me is that it took me about 7 years just to get some sort of salary. Yes, there was money here and there from videos that took off, whatever. But to actually get money from it, it took me 7 years. So a couple of weeks ago, Steph messages me. We're talking about like little finances, like, you know, how your client's doing, just a little catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, bro, like, I'm approaching like a good part time, if I was working part time, normal job in my other career.
Yeah, money. Yeah.
He's like, is that good? I'm like, brother,
yeah.
Like a year and a half, 2 years, you were at zero?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, is that good? Are you crazy? Like, if someone gave me that like golden ticket, 2 years that I can have a remote job, make good money, live anywhere, I'd be like, here's my engineering. Like bad.
Sign up right away. Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, but most people also don't realize like it's always like it looks more like an exponential curve than a linear curve. It's not like, okay, I'm gonna start making content right now. Tomorrow I earn $1. Next month I earn $2, and the next month $3, and then like it's like first couple of years you earn zero, and then suddenly you start earning like 100, and then 1,000, and then suddenly you're making a living.
Right.
So it goes like slowly, and then suddenly.
It's just like a ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'll tell you when that happens to me. I'll get back to you. For me, it's just like.
Yeah, that can happen as well.
It's like a stock market. It's like it goes up.
Up and down.
Down. But it gradually it's going up in the zoom
out.
Yeah,
up. That's probably when you zoom out. Eventually, you'll have like the wobbly exponential curve. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't talk about in the 2 year. Well, we talked about. But we didn't talk about in the last podcast. You were in the middle of your travels, or maybe at the start of them. When we did the pod.
Yeah, yeah. Second month.
You did a year of traveling.
Yeah.
Most people's dreams to live abroad, and the digital nomad dream is what you did.
Yeah.
Tell me what discovered, what the highlights were. Let's talk about that a bit more.
Cool, yeah.
Where did you go?
All right, so when we talked the first 3 months, I was in Thailand.
Yeah.
Living the laid-back, typical backpack lifestyle, I would say. Oh, not backpack, but like digital nomad lifestyle.
Yeah.
Beaches, palm trees. 2 months in Bali. Spent a month in Sydney, which was... surprisingly really awesome, really expensive, not really great as a digital nomad city, but such a cool country.
Why are you surprised?
Like, I knew it would be cool, but like I enjoyed that month. The food was great, the weather was good. It was winter there, but it was similar to Valencia.
Right.
People are so nice. Everybody's fucking in for a conversation. Everybody likes to talk. Everybody's really fit. Like, everybody's into sports.
Right.
Constantly outside doing sports. I don't know, man. Just a chill
good vibe.
Yeah,
place.
Good vibe. Yeah. Yeah, expensive, really expensive. So that's like the only con, but really good vibe. Spent the month in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. Spent the month in the US in LA, did a road trip, went to Burning Man, which was also one of the highlights. Like when people ask me like what was the thing that most stands out, Burning Man always is right. somewhere there.
Right.
It's like it's a trip in itself.
No one can explain this to me correctly, this experience. Like I have a friend Milo, she was also on the pod, he was trying to tell me about Burning Man, and I couldn't wrap my mind around.
It's a different universe. For a week you're in a different world, like which was fucking awesome. Went to Area 51 as well. Well, at least like, we talked a bit, and I told him like, "Come on, guys, quit fucking around."
Turn off the nukes. We're really close here. Yeah. Like,
no, we went to the gate, which was a really cool experience.
That for that meme? You went for the Area 59 meme?
That was years prior, but
well, it was a fun. Yeah.
No, it was cool. Actually, I have a lot of footage I still have to release. Like, I shot the whole day, but to be continued.
Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas, the usual.
Hawaii.
Before we got to LA, we did some Hawaii. Colombia, 3 months, actually. Also, well, not surprising.
3 months in Colombia?
Yeah, one in Cartagena and then two in Medellin.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was much shorter in the West.
It was supposed to be one in Cartagena, one in Medellin, but we ended up staying one more in Medellin.
That's wild.
Colombia's fucking awesome as well. Oh, right. Yeah. Cheap. That's like a perfect digital nomad spot, especially for Spanish-speaking people.
Passport bros.
Yeah, nobody talks English over there.
Right.
And I don't blame them, but it's, yeah.
That's hype.
Yeah, it's awesome. Great food, cheap, great weather, nice people. And then, like, finish it off in Atlanta, New York, visiting family. And,
right.
Christmas in New York, or just before Christmas. Came back, and then 3 months in Cape Town. So, the best thing about the whole thing is, like, the freedom. I would recommend everyone, at least before their 30s, like have one big sabbatical where you go away, wherever that might be. You leave your hometown for at least like 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
Doesn't have to be at the same spot. You could travel around. Like, leave everything behind for...
Right.
It doesn't even have to be 6 months, but at least for like a couple of months. You have that feeling like, I don't have a home. I'm literally nomading around.
I'm homeless. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But it's such a freeing feeling. Like,
right.
I'm just... here right now. It forces you to be present. It forces you to meet new people, to think in a different way.
Yep.
And then when you come back to your little bubble, your hometown, you will have so many perspectives that you can take into your life. They'll probably set some new interesting paths
right.
you can take. So that was definitely like overall one big highlight. Just the freedom you experience is fucking awesome. There are downsides as well.
Yep.
I just released a video about the downsides. I mean, downsides, like people...
First world problem downsides, would you say? Yeah, like, they're not like...
Obviously, yeah. Not problems, but like the things
drawbacks.
You don't think of when you start living the digital nomad lifestyle. Like traveling is cool, but like if you're trying to build a business, for example, what I was trying to do with my YouTube channel, it doesn't serve your productivity at all. It's like pretty tricky to find a new... routine every day, every new location, set up a new studio, pack, unpack.
Right.
It can be a bit challenging. Start missing your friends and family. That's also kind of, a
normal.
Negative thing. Yeah. What else?
Getting accustomed to each place, that when you're only there for a short amount of time, it must feel weird to just be at a place for a month.
Yeah.
Go to another place. You just, a few months in, especially when I even moved here, that's when I felt like I was finally like settled in, like all my paperwork. I found the gym, like I had a routine.
No, I'm settled.
Time to go.
Yeah. Same.
It seems tough.
And it's such a strange thing that I've noticed when traveling, but like always the first couple of days when we arrived at a new destination, it was always like, I wouldn't say it's not paranoid, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know how to, what vibes I get from these people. I don't know what I can eat.
Right.
Is the water safe? Like a little bit more
like you're
cautious.
On an island, like an island where you don't know anything.
Exactly. I don't belong here. Like people are looking at me or whatever. And it always takes like 3-4 days. And it's like, I'm part of you.
I'm
one of them. Yeah, I'm a local. And then you're like comfortable and it starts feeling more like home. And yeah, it's strange. And every time the same
thing
happens.
You have the same feeling at every single place.
Yeah.
Even the places where you spoke English. Interesting.
Yeah.
Even Cape Town, like you...
Yeah, we arrived there and it was like... I remember like we arrived pretty late. It was like late in the evening, so maybe 10, 11, 12, something. Took a cab to our apartment and like the city was empty. I was like, what the fuck? And you heard the stories that Cape Town is one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Right.
The first thing you take the cab at the airport, you drive on your highway and there's like a fucking big billboard, digital billboard. It says, don't stop. dangerous. Like to cars, don't stop on the side of the road. Dangerous. Keep driving.
Jesus.
So that, and that's like the first thing you see.
That's terrifying.
Like, and you drive through the city to our apartment. It's like nobody on the streets. I'm like, what the fuck is happening, man? And then it's like, you check in. You hear strange noises in your apartment. Like, what the fuck is going on? Do I do the double locks, close the windows? You know, that paranoia.
Yeah.
And I like three days, like, I fucking, everything's open. Right. I leave the door open the whole day. Right. Laptop everywhere. I don't give, everybody's chill. But yeah, and that I had every single time. Yeah.
Right.
Strange thing.
Yeah, I, the traveling for a year seems so hectic because the digital nomad dream seems to keep evolving. And I think... I look back at some... I was listening to a podcast. It's a Spanish podcast. When I first started learning Spanish, there was this guy that moved to Spain from England. And he started recording this podcast to help other English speakers that want to learn Spanish. And it was like 2004.
Yeah.
And this guy moved abroad, was working online.
OG.
OG.
Yeah, real OG.
And I was like, holy shit. Because I looked at the analytics for Spain. Analytics for Spain. I'm fucking talking it's a YouTube channel. I looked at the data for Spain. And not like more than 30, 40 years ago, the average, the percentage of foreigners in Spain was below 5%.
Okay.
Between 2 and 5%.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's 15 to 20.
That's insane. Like a tenfold increase.
So imagine being here when literally... No, like you were an English speaker, literally no one spoke English.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no like friendly signs like, oh, you're visiting here, like, you know, tourists here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you probably had that vibe in some places that weren't getting as many tourists, or is it more like now?
Colombia was friendly. A little bit like that because nobody spoke English, so it was a bit more of a gap. But no, not that extreme. I can then you really have the feeling you're like an outsider, I guess.
And no internet, no, yeah. You're walking, you're using a map.
Oh, let me check where the nearest, what the fuck?
No.
Google Translate,
nope.
Dictionary. Yeah, the OG, man. But yeah, respect for them. That's like the true, true
digital. That's the founders, the founding fathers of the digital nomad game. Like, there's a video here, something about like, what it used to be like a digital nomad in the 2000s. Like,
there's a video?
I feel like this would slap.
Yeah. Could be an interesting story, but no, we haven't had that extreme feeling. Yeah, Colombia a little bit.
What were the craziest highlights, what craziest stories from the travels? What stands out to you? Because it's probably a year of a lot of memories. What memories like stick out?
So Burning Man was awesome. That was a trip.
Did you get robbed?
I got scammed.
Oh, okay.
I got scammed in Cartagena when we landed in Colombia, and it was a I saw it coming. We landed at the airport, and usually our plan was always land at the airport, get a SIM card right away, or use a digital, like a eSIM.
eSIM, yeah.
But for Colombia, it wasn't possible. So we got, usually we would have a physical SIM right at the airport, non-existent at the airport in Cartagena. Yeah, non-existent. And a cab driver, so I couldn't take an Uber. That's the point.
That's what you're trying, okay.
So there's like a cab driver, and he was standing next to like police officers. It looked all chill. Like, he's like, yeah, you want to take a cab? In Spanish, like, sure, where's an ATM? Where can I get money? Oh, yeah, they're right there around the corner. All right, got the money. Things went so fast. Like, they put in the luggage in the cab. So, yeah, let's go. Give him a tip if you want. And it's like, I looked up the conversion rate before I went to Colombia. I was like, I don't know. It was like 10,000 of those pesos was like 1 euro. So I gave like 10, like four of them, 4 euros, fuck it. But it's like on the note, it says 100. So I thought like, no, what was it again? Yeah, I don't know. But somehow I thought like I was giving them 1 euro, but I basically gave them 10 euro. Because it said like 100 on a note, but then somewhere in Spanish it says 100,000.
Oh, right.
But
right.
I didn't know that. Okay,
goddamn,
fuck.
Hyperinflated money.
Yeah. So that's just my mistake. But then in the cab, I told them before and put on the meter. And then suddenly, during the cab drive, he could not speak one word English, and he didn't want to put the meter on. And I knew what was coming. It was fucking jet lag, the shit. We arrived at the place. He wanted like 50 euros or something, or he wanted 100 euros even. Jeez. I don't know. I got pissed. I said, all right, drive to the Airbnb. I have a friend. He'll talk to you. Like, I started bluffing a little bit. And it was a nasty situation because, like, I could tell him, like, fuck you, and then leave, go out the door, and he would drive away with my girlfriend and the luggage.
Right.
I could... like there was two big guys, I couldn't do anything. Two of them
in the cab with you guys.
Yeah we were in the back seat and we two were in the front. So
what?
I told you it went so fast, but So the two guys in a cab, and there was like six of them on the airport, like helping us with the luggage. And it was fast, bro. And it was, yeah, it was such a strange situation. But anyways, I was like, discussion back forward. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to pay. His English got worse and worse the whole time.
Right.
And then it got a little bit
hostile.
Yeah. Like, I saw it in his face, but I also got, like, angry. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
I'm getting scammed, but fuck you. I know I'm getting scammed.
Right.
Let me talk to the guy. And then basically I told him, like, here, fuck it, take it. And I gave him, no, 100 euros. I was like, take it. And then we got out. So I gave him, like, 50 or 40,
right.
Like, when you convert. Like, get the fuck out. I was so tired, jet lag. We haven't slept the whole night.
Right.
And I felt pissed that day. That was probably the most dangerous situation we had.
That's so nothing for Colombia.
Not that bad. Yeah. No, like in Colombia, like in Cartagena, especially, a lot of drug dealers and prostitutes. Like every 5 meters, like, want coke? You want to fuck? You wanted this?
Right.
Cartagena was a bit like that. Medellin, way less. That's more like a chill city to
chill
live.
City, but yeah.
Cartagena is more for visiting.
Is there a boom of digital nomads now there or no?
In Medellin, yeah.
There's a lot of non-Spanish-speaking people coming over from...
Gringos.
Gringos. Those fucks. They're the worst.
Yeah, they don't like them.
Over and colonizing.
They don't like them. Like, there's a whole... like, the passport bros coming to Medellin to pick up chicks, but I think there was a whole generation of gringos that kind of ruined it. So they know they're there just to get laid and they're a bit like...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But they're there because... they're not going to stay there, right? They're going to just pick up a baddie and get her out.
They know.
Is that what the passport bro is? The passport bro is someone that just, from another well-established country, comes over, finds a wife that's Colombian and gets out, gets her out of there?
Gets her back. Yeah, that's like what they're probably hoping for, but they're kind of in doubt because there's just a lot of guys who go there to get laid and then get the fuck out and never speak to them.
Interesting.
At least that's what I've heard. But yeah.
Allegedly. Of course.
Awesome place. Yeah. Allegedly. No, I was there with my girl.
Of course. Of course. You did. You're the inverse of the passport, bro. You came there already having a girl. Like,
I gave away my passport.
Like, it's over.
No, what else? We had a scooter accident. Like, we had a villa. Actually, when we had the pod, like, right around that time, we had a villa in Koh Samui.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very steep road leading up to the villa. And... we had to get, like, you couldn't get the cheapest scooter because it could not drive up. That's how steep it was. We had to get, like, I don't know, like, a big motor.
Yeah.
That could drive us up. And then, no, it wasn't too bad. But then one day we just did grocery shopping, so we were really heavy. It started raining. We just, like, went like this. And then the scooter just, like, started tilting over. And we fell. We slipped all the way down. But the worst thing is the exhaust, which was fucking hot.
Hot, yep.
Burnt my girlfriend's leg. It was, like, open wound. So we had to go to the hospital. And
what degree? Do you know what degree burn?
I don't know, but she has like
really
a big ass scar.
Still has it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Like, what's the...
I actually don't know. I was going to ask that.
Third degree or the first degree? Yeah.
I think third degree is the worst.
Like, it was pink. Like, the whole thing was pink. Yeah. And
I think third degree is the worst.
No, it was...
I think the first degree is not as bad.
They put some shit on it, gave her some cream, and put some... She had to change the... gouge, how do you say it?
Band-aid, gauze, whatever.
Every day, and after a couple of weeks, it was okay. But now she has a nice memory.
I still have the trip.
Yeah,
you branded her, bro. What the hell?
So that was also like an extreme thing. But yeah, man. Oh yeah, we did. There was also a thing I keep forgetting, but I also don't want to mention it too often in public. But when we were in Bali, we had friends visiting, like for 3 weeks. We spent 3 weeks in a villa, traveling around Bali. And we went to these small islands next to Bali, like a 2-hour boat drive. Super small, super tropical, like snorkeling, diving. There's only bicycles on the island. There's no cars.
Right.
And you could do mushroom shakes everywhere, though. It's like
mushroom shakes?
Mushroom shakes, like magic mushroom shakes.
Like a protein shake, but with mushrooms.
Yeah, like magic mushrooms.
Go on. I don't think you told me this.
They mix it like with Sprite or whatever. No,
did you tell me this?
But I also forget it often. Yeah. So,
you know, you're having a good life when you forget about mushroom shakes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, it was one of the cool things we did. No,
highlights of the trip wasn't mushroom shakes.
No, it was a fucking awesome experience, yeah. On a fucking tropical island, like, if you ever plan on doing psychedelics or whatever, there is not a better location to do it than there. And we've heard good stories from people. So we kind of were open to it. Let's visit the island. Some of them were really convinced, yeah, fuck, there's nothing to think about. We're going to do it.
Right.
Some of us were like, yeah, let's see. But the vibes were good. The guys we met, like, there's literally places on the beach, like bars, whatever you want to call it, and they call themselves like Dr. Mushroom or
that's good marketing.
Yeah, and good communication, chill vibe.
Right.
Yeah, fuck it, let's do it. So he asked us like, it's like easy, medium, hard. Like easy, oh, you see a little bit of colors, little bit smile. Medium is like colors move, you see things in the water, and hard is like, yeah, space, and you go to Venus. Like, let's do medium. And my girlfriend was like, yeah, let's do easy. Like, that was the first time for her. Look at medium. Bro, that was not medium. That was like,
yeah.
I've never tripped so hard in my life. Yeah, it was like, we took the shit. In the beginning, first 30 minutes, it was a little bit, you feel this, the come up.
Sure.
You don't know what to expect. Like, everybody's anxious. You see everybody's a little bit, And then, like, I don't know, for 3 hours straight, I think I was like, I melted into the beanbags on the beach. Everybody's like, and then just looking around. And sometimes he would look up like, all good? Yeah, but what the fuck, man? Yeah, awesome, man. That was like 2-3 hours of tripping. And then you kind of start coming back. And then there's always a philosophical end to a trip. Like the last 2-3 hours, it's like, you're still tripping, but you're also really, you can speak again. You can
communicate.
And it's all clear in your head, and you start like having these deep conversations. Oh, this is so strange. And this is what I experienced. Everybody had their own trip. And then, oh yeah, that's when I looked at you. And then I thought you said you meant this, but yeah, it's cool.
Everyone had their own unique moment, even though you were all kind of the same place, absorbing, same environment.
But it's such a difficult thing to explain. Like, if you've never done psychedelics, then you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I cannot even try to explain. It's like Burning Man. It's like, you have to experience it.
I made the same mistake in Thailand.
Not medical advice.
Very good. I made the same mistake in Thailand, but not with psychedelics. It was with food. Because, I didn't make the mistake. Sorry. This was the time I was traveling with my ex, and we went to Thailand, and they're ordering food, and they're like, oh, we love spicy. Give us a little spicy to the whatever the guy making the Thai pad Thai. And I'm like, I'll just take the regular. Bro, I took the regular. I was in agony.
Yeah.
They took the slightly spicy. I thought we had to go to the hospital.
There's a difference in spices.
I didn't know this, but your spicy and Thailand spicy is like fucking two universes apart.
Oh, yeah. But you do get used to it,
I'm sure you do, but like my butthole, I feel like
Doesn't get used to it. Yeah.
How do I train this?
Yeah, they're next level when it comes to spiciness, man. But the food is good.
So you're now traveling again, as you are here in Spain, but no more of this 1 year traveling. What's the realization? What's the overall feeling about that year abroad?
That travel is still fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big part of my life, of my fiance and my life. But in a different way, instead of like going away for such a long time on end, we're just gonna focus on like having a stable base, a home.
Yeah.
And then every time we think like we're stuck in a routine, switch it up, let's go away for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then you travel around, get new impulses, get like refreshed and reset.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll get sick of the traveling as well. Like you miss home, you miss your routine, you miss your friends and family.
Right.
Go back home, spend 2-3 months back home. And then do it all over again. And I think like the switching it up, the keeping it like dynamic and ever changing, it's the fucking
ideal situation.
Yeah. If you like traveling in the first place. So you still have that digital nomad experience, but you also like have your seasons of just work, home.
It's a digital nomad with like a ground base, so like a starting
intermittent
point.
Nomad.
That's a good term. Did you make that up?
Yeah, man. No, I made that term up, but I saw some comments on my last video, like, a bro literally think he has invented snowbirding.
I didn't know this one.
Apparently in the US, like, rich families, like, who live more in the northern part of America, would basically do the same thing. For winters, they would go to Florida or whatever, and they call them snowbirds, apparently.
Snowbirds? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Bro literally thought he was a snowbird. But yeah, basically, like, a little bit of digital nomading and a little bit of just normal life.
You know, that snowbird thing sounds familiar, not because I heard the term, but when I first got here in 2019, we were at some apartment. I walked outside, and some random guy just starts talking to me. He wasn't homeless. He was just like some random dude off the street. I don't remember. We got into a conversation, and I was maybe like a few weeks into Valencia, and I asked him, like, oh, how is this place? Like, do you love it? Blah, blah, blah. Do you like it here? He was like, ah, it's okay, but like, eventually everyone leaves. And I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, there's always a warmer place. And I was like, at the time, I was like, what, like, how? Yeah, and I was there in August, it was 30, and I knew that winters, I was there a few years prior. In wintertime, it was 25 in December.
Yeah, that's great.
And he's like, these people always, like, they just come here, they come for the weather, and then they go, as soon as it gets slightly cold, they go to another warm place.
Yeah, yeah. That's snowboarding?
That's snowboarding. But yeah. Just imagine snowboarding for this place.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, probably they get used to this as well. And, right. I don't know.
This becomes like winter to them, so that what, they need to go to a place that...
Dubai or whatever.
Dubai in the fucking winter.
Yeah.
It was just a weird concept. Like, there's people snowboarding from Valencia of all places. Like,
I'm now literally snowboarding here to right? Valencia. Yeah.
What am I going to do in December? Oh, it's too hot. It's too hot in December. I'm going to go to, like, I don't know, Buenos Aires or something. I don't know.
Egypt. Yeah.
Somewhere where it's summer in the winter time for me.
Yeah. But I do realize, like, we're talking about this like it's such a normal thing. But actually, you have to set up your life to be able to do that in the first place.
Not many people can do that.
Yeah, you have to have a remote job or at least have income streams where you can live wherever you want. Like, can you handle the fact that you're probably going to have double rent? Like, you have your home, you have to pay mortgage or rent, and then also go to the new place. Like, kids, dogs, whatever. Like, you have to set up your life in a specific way to be able to do that. And sometimes I keep forgetting that. Like, now it's like, oh, yeah, we like travel, but we also like home. Oh, why not combine?
You both.
Yeah, but it's like not... If you have a normal 9-to-5 job, how the fuck are you going to take off 3 months, 4 months a year and fuck off to the other side of the world?
For most people, it's a very hard task to achieve. I think another thing that we briefly talked about when we first met online, I guess, was the sovereign individual.
Yeah.
And that was like a couple years ago. How do you feel about the evolution of the space, remote work, digital nomading? Do you still, and also I think money is involved in that book as well, Bitcoin kind of the falling out of the current government control, current control governments have. They think it's going to be lessening in the future. Do you still see it this way after the pandemic? Do you still see it after all these things happen? Or is it going a different way? Like, what part of the book do you think is accurate and what part do you think is going to be different?
So... The book is definitely applicable to a lot of countries.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of countries where if I would have lived there, I would have not come back after the year of traveling. But as I told you as well, or as I spoke in a video, like in the Netherlands, it's not that bad. So we came back to the Netherlands with the fact like, this is actually a really good base. Government is not that bad. It's not that crazy.
Right.
But...
When I came over, by the way, there wasn't your government being shut down for like a day or something like that when I came to visit you? Or was someone like getting removed from office?
That could be, yeah.
When I came to visit you in April, there was something some sort happened, of event where, like, Amsterdam government like shut down, and I asked you if like, is this normal? You're like, I don't think it's that bad. Like,
I forgot what it is, man.
It was something like around
I remember there was something, Or the cabinet fell apart.
That's
Fell apart.
That was the one.
Right. No, it doesn't happen often, obviously. Okay. But there was like a lot of shit going on with COVID, and then it all came together, and I like basically said, I quit. And
right.
So we had just had elections, and they basically... voted for, let's say, the Trump of the Netherlands.
Nice. Yeah. We love Trump here. I'm kidding. Imagine just comes with a political podcast.
Yeah.
Guys,
Trump and Biden.
Where do we stand on Ukraine? Let's talk about that for the next
Are you left?
Hours.
Are you left or right? No, but it's not that bad in the Netherlands. So we kind of decided, like, okay, let's have at least one base and one place to call home in the Netherlands because it's not that bad. But I always keep that book in mind, like, if shit hits the fan, if laws change, if inflation gets out of hand, if it gets unsafe because of, I don't know, mass migration and housing crisis and frustrations and, I don't know, internal conflicts in the country.
Yeah.
I am still open to the fact of going, having at least a second base. Could be Serbia, could be Dubai, could be in the EU. I've set up my life in such a way that I could pack my stuff and leave the Netherlands in 2 months. Yeah. Sell my house and I don't know, I could just live wherever I want. So that's kind of always the plan B. In fact, like having that second base eventually will probably still be part of the plan to kind of, you diversify basically your, just like you would diversify your investments, you diversify your geographical location.
That's based on our upbringing as well, which is a massive factor of war torn Eastern Europe. And, and a lot of Canadians I know as well think that, you know, their dynasty is not going to come to a collapse, but every dynasty comes and goes. And it usually happens when you don't expect it, or when you, even maybe in prosperous times, it's not far from the prosperous times. Because prosperous times create a lot of problems. Because when you don't have any problems, you start manufacturing your own problems. You start, for lack of a better, you start self-imploding. Yeah. For lack of a better
good
term.
Times create weak men. Weak men create hard times.
That's the expression. That's, and even when I was a kid, like, Canada seemed like the promised land. It seemed like this is the place of equality, freedom, rights. And what Canada is today is still a pretty stable. And it, I think it'll stay stable for a while because it's next to the greatest powerhouse in the world.
Yeah.
I think if Canada was in a different location in the world, it would already be in some trouble.
Yeah.
I think America keeps it pretty safe and stable. But it's starting to have a lot of problems. Like it's, I don't know, everything from unaffordable housing, which is a huge problem. It's a weird one for Canada because it's got so much space. Like, it's such a massive area. They're just not building enough houses because of zoning laws and all this other bullshit, or like,
they're self-imploding, literally.
Self-imploding or like, censorship bills. Like, I have friends in Canada that can't see certain news outlets because they've set up a system where these news outlets have to pay the Canadian government to post in their country.
So they don't want to pay, and then they cannot post.
Basically. They're saying, they basically create a law, I could be wrong here, but this is from my understanding of it. If you have a certain platform of certain size and income, if you want to, like, post news or information in Canada, like if it's, let's say, Bloomberg.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloomberg is not going to be shown in Canada because they didn't pay the Canadian government to do that.
Has Alex Jones paid?
I don't think so. Imagine
Alex Jones.
If there's a GoFundMe right now out there, someone put a fucking $1 million on Alex Jones to advertise in Canada.
No, he wouldn't do it even by choice.
No, he wouldn't do it.
No, no.
But I'm saying it would be funny if, like, all foreign information gets banned.
Yeah.
And then you see Alex Jones in your feed.
He's the only one.
And it's just like memes and shit.
But it's messed up. It's messed up.
It's really, it's crazy.
It's just censorship,
It's crazy.
I saw the other day, I read a tweet that there was a law, I would say a law case? No. Lawsuit.
Yeah.
Lawsuit.
Yeah.
Against Jordan Peterson.
Ah, yeah?
He basically, they didn't like what he's preaching, what he's saying, and all the critique he's giving to the government. And so they wanted to force him by law in a re-education program.
Yeah.
And basically, the High Court now said, yes, you have to go to the re-education program. And I saw him tweet about it, basically, I don't know, bending his knee and saying, okay, you win this battle, but you won't win the war.
That's crazy. Wow, this was recent.
Literally 2 days ago, I read the tweet. So basically, probably went into appeal, but they said he has to go in a re-education program because they didn't like what he had to say. How messed up is that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Jordan Peterson, when I first heard of him, was it still is, for the most part, I would say, a relatively well-balanced, well-thought-out individual that is also articulate.
Yeah.
He also has gone extremely far right now in Canada, at least.
Yep.
Mostly because the left has been viciously attacking him for years.
Yeah.
And not just him, but, like, the left really, starting in Canada at least, started to impose their beliefs more and more on everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. They're both, I hate everyone. I just want to preface this.
I hate everyone.
I want to preface this before I hate someone saying that I'm a Trump. I fucking hate everyone. Like, everyone I hate equally, okay? So let's just say that.
Yeah, this is becoming a political podcast.
But, like, I don't like that Jordan Peterson is in, like, unable to just say whatever, even if it's outrageous. Yeah. And he's not saying something outrageous, but even if it was outrageous, he can say it.
Yeah.
That's, go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't have to agree with it. We don't have to, like, pretend like what he says is now going to become law, or it's going to be like, we're going to practice it like a Bible study. Like,
exactly.
Let the man be what he wants to. Let him speak. He's going to have haters. He's going to have fans. But, like, he shouldn't be punished, or he shouldn't be.
Freedom of speech. By, like, he cannot threaten anyone. Yeah. He cannot. I don't know. There's obviously laws. But if I'm not mistaken, he is not anytime broken those laws.
No, I don't think so.
He's just been extreme in what he says, but within the law.
He's as he's grown in stature and in more popularity, he is a target. There's just no other way to put it. Anyone that has a bit of an influence is someone that an authority should fear. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter whether you agree with them. And none of these people, on an honest level, let's say this, they don't agree or care. Mm. They're just worried about the influence.
Yeah.
They don't care about what's right or wrong. They're worried about what's going to keep their power, what's going to make them money.
Yeah, for sure.
So if someone challenges either of those, that's a target. That's a problem. So, yeah.
Look at Tate. Look at Elon Musk. They, like, Elon Musk bought X. We don't like what you're doing.
Right.
Canceling censorship. I don't know. I only see, like, from the mainstream media, I only see negative articles about him. But,
I mean, Joko was a big one. Joko was a huge, like, this guy was the villain of the earth because he didn't want to do a vaccine thing. And then, I don't know, 2 years later, everyone's like, you know what?
He's a fucking legend.
That was kind of the right move. Everyone's like, bro, you know what?
Yeah,
kind
it's of such the right a, move. It's such a crazy thing that also now nobody, like, not the government, but, like, nobody talks about it.
No,
like,
one.
You know, remember 2 years ago, it was, like, the most important thing, get the fucking vax. Get rival him, otherwise you'll die. And I was like, what COVID?
Right.
What happened?
Right. We completely...
Oh, that thing that Nolan didn't want, but we kind of forced it down his throat and made...
The pod's going to get censored now if I'm 100% on Spotify.
Censor out those words. Censor out those words.
I saw some funny ways of people trying to avoid, like, saying the words COVID and pandemics. So they would start calling it, like, the id.
The id.
Or they would just, like...
C-19.
Yeah. Yeah, they would start making, like... terms that don't even make sense. Like, they would
do they still do it? I don't know if they still.
There was a guy actually on Reddit that made a list of
forbidden words.
Excel, it's like 10,000 lines.
Damn.
Of all words that if you use in the title or thumbnail could either get you fully demonetized or partially demonetized.
Oh yeah.
And he had a rolling list. He was testing new words every day.
Oh damn.
So like you could donate. I think he had like set up like a Patreon. Like he's like I don't mind doing this. This is like fun for me. Like if you want I'll keep investigating. So I'll just have this ongoing list of words.
That's actually really cool.
It's really smart, right?
No, but I'll bleep out those words. we can switch to a different topic. But to bring it back to like the whole digital nomad lifestyle.
That's what we're talking
if
about.
If that shit happens, like, for example, in the Netherlands, like where they start saying like, oh, you cannot say that. Or, this YouTuber was maybe I said something wrong in my videos. And they somehow say to YouTube, like, please demonetize him. Right. I don't have a living. But... yeah, that like moving to a different place wouldn't fix that, but at least I just realized. No, but I have other ways of diversifying.
Curb your enthusiasm, music plays. Bum bum bum.
Just flat earther proves the earth is round. Accident.
That's an inside.
Yeah.
Inside baseball, as we call it.
Inside baseball.
It's like inside joke. Inside baseball.
Inside baseball.
Carry on.
No, there's other ways, like I'm diversifying my brand through a newsletter, my own community,
sure.
Instagram a little bit, so I'm working on that, but in a more general way, like if there's, I don't know, some kind of strange tax law, we talked about taxes, how fucked up they are in the Netherlands, like if it gets too much, like, bye guys.
You have a parachute.
I'm out of here, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that I would say, I was circling back to this earlier. This is something we prepared for because of our background, because of our parents. Because most people from fucking Eastern Europe, if they ended up in some other country, it's probably because the situation got so bad, and there was no parachute.
Yeah,
there was no.
They were forced to. Yeah,
forced to. You had a house, great. It's worth nothing. Yeah. You had a car, can't bring that across if you're going to another fucking, you know, if you're going to the Atlantic or across the Atlantic. You have stocks or some money in the bank. Okay, cool. Money means nothing here. Hyperinflation.
Yeah.
So all of these things are now controllable in our generation. Like you could have multiple streams of income. You could open multiple bank accounts in multiple countries. You could have a remote job from one employer in one country and another job in another country.
Yeah.
So if that country collapses, like, okay, well,
go
to the other place.
Yeah. So, they were the OG individual.
Yeah.
Sovereigns.
Yeah,
sovereign individuals.
Sovereign individual OGs.
Yeah.
Well, we ended on with that. We've done close to an hour, believe it or not.
Yeah.
A lot of
already?
Fun. Let's go get drunk or like let's go.
I'm gonna have a Coke Zero.
Coke Zero, of course. Once the camera cuts, we'll
gracias, amigo.
We'll get that Schlivo.
Yeah. 0.0.
Thanks for coming along.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Cheers.